What if everything you believe is wrong? What if your senses deceive you, your memories lie, and even mathematical truths are illusions? This unsettling possibility launches René Descartes' philosophical masterpiece, Meditations on First Philosophy. Written in 1641 amid Europe's scientific revolution, this slim volume represents one of history's most radical intellectual experiments. Descartes doesn't merely question specific beliefs, he systematically doubts everything, seeking a foundation of knowledge so certain that nothing could possibly undermine it. His journey from doubt to certainty revolutionized Western thought, establishing the framework for modern philosophy and science. Imagine waking up one morning and deciding to question absolutely everything you believe. Not just controversial opinions, but basic facts you've always taken for granted. That you have a body, that the world around you exists, even that 2 + 2 = 4. This is precisely Descartes' starting point. "I will suppose," he writes, "that everything I see is false." Why adopt such an extreme position? Because Descartes seeks absolute certainty, knowledge that cannot possibly be doubted. He begins by questioning sensory experience. Our senses sometimes deceive us. Objects appear smaller at a distance. Straight sticks look bent in water. If our senses occasionally mislead us, how can we trust them completely? But the doubt goes deeper. How can you be certain you're not dreaming right now? Even mathematical truths aren't safe. What if, Descartes suggests, an all-powerful evil demon is systematically deceiving you about everything, including basic arithmetic? This method isn't mere philosophical game-playing. By clearing away all assumptions, Descartes prepares the ground for building knowledge anew. After doubting everything imaginable, Descartes discovers one unshakable truth. He must exist for any deception to occur. The act of doubting proves the doubter's existence. "I think, therefore I am," becomes the foundation for all knowledge, an immediate intuition rather than a logical conclusion. This "I" isn't necessarily a body, but a thinking thing capable of doubting, understanding, affirming, denying, willing, imagining, and sensing. To bridge from self-certainty to knowledge of the external world, Descartes uses God, offering two proofs. First, as a finite being, he couldn't have created the concept of an infinite, perfect God, since an effect cannot contain more reality than its cause. Second, his ontological proof claims existence is part of God's essence, just as having three angles is essential to a triangle. These proofs establish a perfect, truthful God who guarantees our clear and distinct perceptions are reliable. When we perceive something clearly, like mathematical truths, we can trust these perceptions because God would not deceive us. If God exists and isn't deceptive, why do humans make mistakes? This question addresses a potential contradiction in Descartes' system, and his answer remains relevant today. Error, Descartes explains, results from the interplay between two faculties, the intellect, understanding, and the will, judgment. The intellect perceives ideas with varying clarity, while the will affirms or denies these perceptions. Error occurs when the will overreaches, when we make judgments about things we don't clearly understand. We all experience this tendency, forming strong opinions on complex topics we barely comprehend, making decisions based on incomplete information, or jumping to conclusions without adequate evidence. The solution is intellectual discipline. I will restrain my will so that it extends to what the intellect clearly and distinctly reveals, and no further. By limiting judgments to what we perceive clearly, we can avoid error while still making positive claims about reality. This analysis reveals the truth requires not just intelligence, but self-restraint, the discipline to withhold judgment when evidence is insufficient. In our era of information overload and partisan echo chambers, Descartes' insight about intellectual responsibility remains especially relevant. What is the true nature of physical reality? Descartes revolutionized science by answering, "The essence of material things is simply extension in three-dimensional space. Physical objects are fundamentally mathematical entities, portions of space with different shapes and motions." This seems counterintuitive. When you look at a rose, you perceive color, fragrance, and texture. But Descartes argues these sensory qualities exist primarily in our perception, not in objects themselves. The rose's true nature consists in its geometric properties, its shape, size, and the motion of its particles. A rose appears differently under varying conditions, but what remains constant are its mathematical properties, the arrangement of matter in space. This mathematical conception transformed science. By reducing physical reality to extension and motion, Descartes established the mechanistic worldview that enabled Newton's physics and modern science. Physical events could now be described through mathematical laws governing matter and motion, rather than mysterious qualities. When today's scientists model reality using equations rather than sensory qualities, describing fundamental particles mathematically, they're working within Descartes' framework. His vision of a mathematical universe remains central to modern physics, even as quantum mechanics and relativity have complicated the picture. Descartes' most controversial legacy is his mind-body dualism, the view that reality consists of two fundamentally different substances, extended matter, res extensa, and thinking mind, res cogitans. Physical objects, including human bodies, are extended things governed by mechanical laws, while minds are non-extended thinking entities characterized by consciousness. This distinction creates the mind-body problem. How can fundamentally different substances interact? How can an immaterial mind cause physical movement? And how can brain processes create mental experiences? Descartes suggested the pineal gland as the interaction point, an explanation few found satisfactory. Despite these difficulties, Cartesian dualism shaped how we conceptualize consciousness. When we distinguish between mental and physical phenomena, or debate whether consciousness can be explained physically, we're engaging with Descartes' framework. Modern neuroscience has largely rejected substance dualism, viewing mental phenomena as emerging from brain activity. Yet the explanatory gap between physical processes and subjective experience, what philosopher David Chalmers calls the hard problem of consciousness, continues to challenge purely materialistic accounts, keeping Descartes' mind-matter distinction relevant today. Descartes' journey from radical doubt to rebuilt certainty stands as one of philosophy's most ambitious projects. From the certainty of his existence, he established God's existence, the reliability of clear perceptions, the mathematical essence of material things, and the mind-body distinction. His influence extends beyond philosophy into the scientific method's emphasis on mathematical description of nature, psychology's focus on consciousness, and computing's engagement with questions about machine thinking and understanding. When Steve Jobs spoke of thinking differently, or scientists demand rigorous proof over assumptions, they channeled Descartes' legacy. His "I think, therefore I am" has become cultural shorthand for self-awareness. Descartes established a standard for intellectual honesty by questioning basic beliefs and rejecting mere authority. In our era of information overload and competing truth claims, Cartesian doubt offers valuable guidance, not toward permanent skepticism, but as a method to distinguish genuine knowledge from assumption. His approach shows that questioning beliefs can lead to more secure knowledge when following reason to its conclusion.